Hi, I'm Maggie.
And I'm Nicole.
Welcome to the DAC Dyslexia and Coffee podcast. We are happy you could join us. We are both moms and dyslexia interventionists who want to talk about our students and children, what dyslexia is, how it affects our kids, strategies to help, and topics related to other learning disabilities will also be covered in this podcast. Parents are not alone, and we want to give a voice to the concerns and struggles we are all having. This is a safe place to learn more about how to help our children grow and succeed in school and the world. Grab a cup of coffee and enjoy the conversation.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 17 of How DAC, Dyslexia and Coffee podcast. Our topic today is going to be how to read with your child at home. But first, it's time for the concept of the week. The concept of the week is our opportunity as practitioners to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit, let you into what we would be teaching about in an intervention session. So today's concept is a prefix. Last week we talked about a suffix. Today we're talking about a prefix. A prefix is added to the beginning of a word to add meaning or change the meaning of a base word. So, for example, the prefix pre, P-R-E, means before. So usually when I teach this one, I might say, when we go to school, right, what happens maybe before we would go to school? Where do you think we would go before we go to school? And usually my students go, preschool! And then they're usually like, we loved preschool! Can we go back? But that's exactly that. So that prefix we add to before that base word, and it changes that base word's meaning.
So our topic today is how to read to your child at home. Why is this important?
Yeah, I think, you know, why it is important to read to your child at home, it increases vocabulary, it helps development and interest in reading, helps word recognition, increases fluency, increases comprehension, all of those good things. I think most parents know that that is really valuable.
I agree, yes.
Right? So most parents know that's really valuable. And I think a lot of our parents, when they're asking this, they're really asking us seriously, how do we read with our kids at home? Right. So today, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. Really, what can this look like?
Correct. And it can look at, like, a lot of different things.
That's right.
It can happen verbally. You can read to your child. You can listen together to an audiobook. And you can take turns reading. That all counts.
Yeah. All of that
Everything counts.
That's right. You know, a good tip is making sure that we're choosing topics that are really interesting to our kids. I think that it's important to expose to our kids to a lot of different kinds of books.
Correct.
And it really is okay to pick a couple books as a parent that you're really interested in, and maybe your kids are kind of lukewarm. That's fine. But letting them also choose lots of different books. The amount of books I have read lately on obscure marine animals.
Is that Aiden?
That would be Aiden, yes.
Yes.
Yes, that would be Aiden. Okay. A very specific sea mollusk was the entire book that he found at the school library. I was like, okay.
Nice.
Okay.
But I mean, I think fiction and nonfiction also is important.
Very much, very much. For him, I try to steer him sometimes towards a nonfiction option. And for my daughter, it's kind of the opposite. Right? It's exposing them to lots of different kinds of reading.
And language, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And just to talk about the research for a minute, research suggests that reading for just 20 minutes a day can significantly improve vocabulary, comprehension, critical thinking skills, and overall knowledge by exposing readers to a large volume of words annually. And it comes to be about 1.8 million words, leading to a better academic performance and cognitive development, while also potentially reducing stress, promoting better mental health. And this is considered a beneficial habit for both children and adults.
Yeah, that's right. So I think I'm remembering in school, right, and experiencing right now as a mom, those 20-minute reading logs, right? The yes. expectation is that we're reading with our kids or they're reading 20 minutes a day. I remember back in the day it was the Pizza Hut. Do you remember the Pizza Hut rewards cards?
Oh, yeah. They still do that.
Yeah. Oh, they do that.
They do that, yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, you had to fill out your card and you got your personal pan pizza if you filled out your card.
Yes.
But, you know, that the research really does show that 20-minute mark is extremely beneficial. And more than that, it's great, but it doesn't show that it's like 10 times more beneficial.
Exactly.
Sometimes I see parents take this to the next level and they're like, oh, well, 20 minutes is good and my kid's going to do it for 40 every night because they'll get double the benefit. That really isn't what research tells us. And I just want us to be careful with that approach, especially with our dyslexic learners. That can be extremely overwhelming and can actually have the opposite effect.
Correct.
Right? We're talking about how to encourage literacy and steer our kids towards a love of reading. When we make it a fight and when it's a forced
activity,
which, yes, I force it in my house, just for the record. but when we really fight and we go much past that 20, we're not getting the benefit that we think we are.
Correct.
Yeah.
My children have found, I'm not sure, I'm guessing it's YouTube. I'm not kids, YouTube kids, because we don't know them on YouTube. But they have books being read to them.
Yes.
And they love that.
Yes. Yeah. My kids have found that too, especially Millie, those ones are high interest to her. And yeah, that's reading. That is reading. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So have fun reading together. Take turns reading. You can read a paragraph or a page, and then your child could read the next paragraph or the next page. I have some students that we do word by word because it takes them that long.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You know,
works
and that
for
actually,
you.
Really, that's rooted in research, taking turns reading. It's actually called partner research, partner reading, and it increases fluency and word recognition. So that's actually a really good strategy. It's good.
Yeah. Have fun reading together, be enthusiastic and encouraging, and then talk about the book and appreciate your child's effort. A good thing about talking about the book is you're increasing that comprehension so much just by
Absolutely. Talking
about it.
And critical thinking.
Correct.
And reasoning skills.
Exactly.
Sometimes parents who maybe aren't used to this kind of work, right? I have heard parents kind of be frustrated by their younger kids, that they're reading a book and their child stops and ask a question about the picture or kind of makes a comment, right? Like, oh, that's so sad. He lost his ball or things like that. Some parents can kind of get frustrated, like, oh, we're just trying to read this book. We're just trying to. Often we associate like our reading time with bedtime, especially when our kids are like little. So sometimes that can be a kind of frustrating for parents, but that actually is a sign that
they're really understanding it.
Yeah. That's a sign that this brain development is going wild. So that's a good thing. Don't try and squish that. As hard as that was a hard thing for me too.
Yeah. You're like, I gotta get the 20-minute reading in. But that's actually part of the reading too, right? Because
yes,
when they get older, they're gonna answer questions about what they've read.
Right. Yeah, and they have to be able to make sense of it. That's also a self-monitor. That's early self-monitoring, which is something that we try to teach here, is monitoring yourself, asking, does this make sense? Do I understand it? That is early self-monitoring when a kid does that. So it's actually pretty important.
Go to the library often. Find topics that interest your child, such as animal, jokes, or heroes, and reread your favorites. Honestly, I've reread the Dogman series probably, I don't know how many times, because we read it every single night, and we've been through all the books at least 4 or 5 times now.
Yeah, absolutely. absolutely. It's okay. You know, do I want the only reading your children ever do to be reread books?
No.
No, of course not. This is, of course not. But if that is what they're interested in and those stories, just give them the juice over and over, great.
Yeah.
For us, it's Eric Carle's The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Oh, that's a good book,
It is a great one. Or The Very Grouchy Ladybug.
Okay.
Yes. Those are...
Your repeats, huh?
Our repeats.
Don't worry, you'll get to Dogman. ask your child's teacher for a list of books that are good for your child's age and reading level, because they probably know exactly what would be an appropriate read for them.
Yeah, and they're going to know what the other kids are reading.
True, and what peers across the nation are reading.
Yep, that's right. You know, those librarians, they know
a lot,
and they can be a great resource. I mean, I am a parent who shops the like staff pick shelf at the library.
Oh, yeah.
We're definitely, oh, look, these are the ones they have displayed. I mean, that use your resources, man. Those are usually tend to be really good ones.
And chapter and series books provide a lot of practice and entertainment.
Yeah. Last year we read, the Ramona books.
Oh, I remember. Oh,
and
those are great.
It was so much fun to experiencing those books all over again. I mean, they hold up. They're just as good. Those were, as a child, a reread, I think, I don't know, Ramona Quimby, age 8, I could probably recite parts of that book if pressed. And I read them with my children last year, and they just loved it. A beauty part of that, too, is like, wow, I read these as a kid, and of course they thought that was fun.
Yeah.
And then also, some of the vocabulary in that book, because of when it was written, my children were kind of like, what are you talking about? There's a part where she has boots, but they go on over her shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, our kids have never experienced that before. So it's really good opportunities to, of course, that was me reading out loud to them.
Right.
But that's really good experience to...
Mine are the Amelia Bedelia
books.
And I have a student right now that we're reading them. And it's so funny because she's like, how does she not understand that? Because the whole thing is that she just doesn't understand any, like, things that are not straightforward, concrete issues.
I love the Amelia Bedelia books. I'm very partial to those. That is partially why my daughter's name is Amelia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love them.
So read with your school-aged child. Establish a time for reading together, a routine, 20 minutes every day, in a place for your student to do their reading and their homework, and be available to assist and encourage.
That's right. I think sometimes, you know, making sure that it is part of the routine, sometimes parents can kind of get into a trap. I think with littles, I think the trap is like reading has to be bedtime. Some families, that is not the best time to get that reading done. Sometimes it's the morning. Sometimes it's mid-afternoon. Do what works for your family. And I think another trap that my middle grade parents will come to me and they'll kind of be like, am I supposed to still be listening to my kid read out loud to me? It's not required by school anymore. Should I still be doing that? And the answer is absolutely yes. You should want to hear your kid read out loud to you. You should be reading out loud to your kid, listen to audiobooks together. I think all three of those things are great strategies. Yes. But yeah, it's important that we're still monitoring our kids' oral reading, even when it may not be required by school.
Yeah. Organization. Display a calendar with family events and properly write down any school dates that are important, like early release days and parent conferences. Parents are then demonstrating or showing their student how they read to get their information, right? Because they send a huge bunch of papers home with them, and you're supposed to figure out what to do for the rest of the school year. And you have to read through everything to make sure you don't miss something, right?
Yeah.
And that's a way to show them how functional reading is.
That's right. I make kind of a big show of that at home with my kids' folders. Both of them are at ages. They're 4K in first grade. So both of them are at ages where we have that school communication folder. And with Aiden, it's daily. With Millie, it's weekly. But I make sure that I kind of make a big show of that and even read parts of it out loud. I also make a big show of, I thought this said it was at this time, but this says is at this time. That kind of, I make a big show of like, I'm an adult who's a competent reader, but I also need to think things out. All of those things are really, really important for our kids to see, and they're part of that reading routine at home. I think, part of the reason it's so important to read with our kids is that it could just really be a time to connect with our kids. I have found lately that some of the books might have an issue with a friend or something that will connect to something else that maybe one of my kids is going through. And that's just another opportunity to be able to connect with our kids. And, you know, it's through literacy.
Yeah, and practicing reading also gives young students need a lot of practice and encouragement as they learn to read. Reading aloud improves your child's speaking, reading, listening, thinking, and problem-solving skills. Experience with various kinds of books like poetry or nonfiction broadens their knowledge and curiosity. Vocabulary grows as your child hears new words and ideas in new stories. And reading also creates that special bond that strengthens your relationship with your child. It makes it enjoyable, and then your child learns to read and then reads to learn. That's how it goes when you get in higher grades. And so you're trying to teach them how to do that.
Yeah, you're trying to get them over that bridge from learning to read to reading to learn. One of the things that we know from research is, okay, how do we get kids to read more? And it's when their parents read, when their parents have a established reading routine. And that does not mean that I think everybody needs to be sitting in a library full of books. I am fully understanding that for me, that's like my happy place, okay? But that's not everybody's happy place, and that's okay. I'm not saying that you need to be your nose in a book 24/7 to be a good reading role model for your kid. I sometimes get kind of sheepish questions from parents who are kind of on the slide. They'll come and ask me like, okay, but I'm not a very good reader. So how do I encourage my kid to be a really good reader? And I think one, talking to your kid about that. I think it's okay to tell your kid, you know what, actually, this is something I kind of struggle with too, but let's discover it together. That could be empowering to a kid.
Correct.
And that can be its own special moment. It doesn't have to be a book. It could be something that you're reading, you know, on your phone. But I think what needs to happen there is that making a show of, I'm actually reading my email right now, and what I'm finding out is X, Y, Z. Those things contribute to an adult strong reader, having that role model.
Correct. Sometimes we also get questions related to reading, like what is phonics?
Mm-hmm.
So phonics is the sound that each letter makes when reading. So helping a child use their knowledge of letter sounds is called phonics. So like sounding out letters to make a word, like cat or hat. And then you can have them reread that. Is a good way for them to practice. Also maybe playing word games while reading. So when you see the word cat, ask your child what word rhymes with that, like hat and sat. Or change the letter to a new word. So like if it's car, change the last sound, R, to a P, and it becomes cap. So that's all really good ways to help them with their identifying the letter and sounds together.
Vocabulary, right? So vocabulary is all the words that your child uses or understands. So students who have the biggest vocabularies really are the best readers. So pause to explain a new word or concept when reading together. Make a list of new words at home. Watch it grow longer. This is something both of my own children have a tendency towards, a large vocabulary, and they have tendency towards really enjoying finding new words. Not every kid is like this. I fully understand that. But that can be a lot of, first of all, fun. I find it a game that sometimes I'm like, ooh, I didn't know that word. Or yes. Really explaining. That's another place, too, that sometimes a parent might feel a little like, okay, I have to pause and explain that word. And yeah, you really do. That actually really is a really important part of it, because if we're increasing their oral vocabulary, we have a better chance of increasing their reading vocabulary.
And you're showing them, if you're looking up what it means, you're showing them how to do that, because that's a skill that they're going to need.
That's right.
Because they're going to come across words in school, in other things, work, that they'll have to look up in the future, because not everybody knows every word.
And blowing past it is a really bad reading habit that I spend a lot of time in intervention trying to teach out and train out of students. Sometimes, right, they'll just make a guess at the word. It might not be quite right, and they just blow past it. And often the meaning is not the same. or they'll be like, oh, they'll make a guess at what a new word means. And that isn't quite correct. And that can really throw off their level of understanding of a passage or a paragraph. And that can be problematic for them when they're an older student. So not blowing past those hard words, stopping to figure them out, though, those are important skills that we're baking in the cake when we do that with our kids.
Exactly. Fluency is the ability to read with speed and accuracy. So when you listen to your student or child read out loud, that helps them increase fluency. So when you read, they hear how smooth your reading sounds. So so if you pause when you say a new or different or a difficult word and then ask your child to repeat them, that helps them be become more fluent and it increases their vocabulary. And that's really important for reading comprehension.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A fun game you can play with an older student is anytime there's kind of a dialogue, right? That taking turns and trying to match their reading to how someone would actually speak. That's something that can really bring up that fluency and also helps them to understand often those pieces of a narrative that are dialogue is when there would be an obvious comma for a pause, or often it's a part of a book that a student might view as, oh, that's going to be a little bit easier because of just the block of print. I find that passages that have dialogue, for some of our students who really get overwhelmed by a whole block of text, like a big paragraph or a longer paragraph, they might be a little more open to reading something with more dialogue because it's less overwhelming looking and they can kind of have some fun. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, let's act this out or what. Sometimes it can also be socio-emotional work. Like, let's think about how this character is really thinking. How would they say that phrase and practice different ways of how that might sound, how that same group of words might sound differently with different emphasis.
Correct. That's a really good point. Comprehension. So comprehension is the reason for reading, right?
Absolutely.
It involves the understanding, remembering, and talking about the text. When reading with your child, occasionally ask questions or talk about a character. And maybe even pretend or predict what's going to happen next, like, or explain the plot, right? Can your student or child retell the story? Like, what happened at the beginning, middle, and end?
Yes.
And what are the important parts of the story? Which should they remember?
Yeah, that one is really huge. In my own research lately, I've been doing a lot of reading comprehension and written expression research of my own. And what I have found kind of alarming is a lot of the programs and curriculums that are being sold to schools right now that are not really teaching summary as a skill. Or if they are, they are kind of, they teach it once and then they're kind of done with it. And then they expect a student to be able to compare and contrast or analyze a character or anything else that is a deeper, and we need a lot more cognitive wheels to make that happen, but we don't spend enough time on the summary piece. And so those students cannot make the leap to be able to compare and contrast and do all of those really higher order critical thinking skills because they don't have the summary skills. They don't understand main idea supporting details, and they have difficulty sequencing what has happened in a story. Those two things can't be practiced enough, and they should be worked on any time, way up until through high school. Sometimes that's a skill that teachers take for granted that their students can do. And that is not necessarily true and needs to be anytime you read with your kid, really, I think, period, end of story, there needs to be some, what was the main point of that story? Or some wrap up, some kind of summary work needs to be involved with any time we read with our kids.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah.
And it's a good way to know if they actually understood some of the words in there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Sometimes they say something completely different. And you're like, yeah, how did you get that?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Maybe we need to go back to that.
That's right. I was reading with a student this morning, and I asked for a retell, and whoa, You know, that was a really easy way for me to tell this young man kind of had a, from my ear, a relatively smooth read of the passage and bordered on being pretty fluent, but when asked to retell, it was very clear that all of the work was being put into that decoding part, and he was not making that leap to understanding. And so that told me a lot as a practitioner. Like, I know what I need to do now for this kid. So
yeah,
it's a step that is skipped sometimes, and it's pretty critical.
And it really shouldn't be.
No, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. All right. So we hope that was helpful. Some tips for how to read with our kids at home. So we like to end our show, though, with talking about our life outside of dyslexia. So what is going on with you outside of dyslexia, Nicole?
Well, I mean, like we said, we're reading a lot at home right now, but we also just started Taekwondo.
Okay.
Yeah. For all three of them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
We've done the 2-week trial.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's very interesting, the feedback from Catherine's in love with it.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't like exercise for anybody listening.
Yeah. Okay.
She's... Loves it. Okay. So, I don't know.
And sensory stimulation seems fine there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome.
I know. Well, they get to be barefoot. You know, my kids love to be barefoot.
That makes a lot of sense.
I know, right?
That makes a lot of sense. Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So what about you?
Let's see. What is going on with us outside of dyslexia? As we record this early November, we are recovering from daylight savings time. We are recovering from Halloween. We are trying to reestablish some routines in our house that are related to healthy eating, being more conscious about the things that we're putting in to our bodies. We recently confirmed my son's diagnosis of ADHD, and one of the things that we're really trying is paying attention to food dyes in our food, and we're on a different supplement that at this moment for our house, we're trying to avoid a medication right now, and so we're trying kind of a supplement route, a little bit more holistic at first, and seeing how that goes before we kind of go the more prescription route. And we'll see. We're keeping an open mind and trying to rein it in at the Gunther house.
Yeah,
we'll keep you posted. But thank you, everybody, for listening. If you like our show, please follow us on social media. Please reach out if you have any questions or would like us to discuss a topic. If you do like our show, please be sure to follow and give us a rating on your favorite podcast player. This is how we reach more listeners and get to help more people. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.